When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 683. Collector's Call Trivia. And Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the fun stuff they got over there. You're going to see it or hear about it tonight. The 60 Years of Mayberry book, great book. You might want to check it out. I even wrote a chapter. Go check that out. And while you're there, you might want to get you a Mayberry pennant and celebrate baseball season. Mayberry Union High pennant or Mayberry's first. You might want to check that one out as well. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 683 is Mike McGonigal and the high sheriff of Two Chairs No Waiting for episode 683 is Chris Merrill. Thank you both for your contributions to keep this podcast alive. And thank you for being here with me as well. Now, this was a big week here in Mayberry. This past week on MeTV, some of you guys may watch MeTV, they had the show Collector's Call. Now, Collector's Call is a weekly close call, but it actually featured Mike Haviland this week. So we had him on there showing off his great Mayberry collection to Lisa Wachel. I'm sure you said your name wrong. She was Blair on Facts of Life and very successful in her own career and life, author, all kinds of things that she's done. So we are so glad that Mike got to be a part of this amazing episode of Collector's Call, where he was able to show off just some of his Mayberry collection. And it was this past Sunday, as we record this, he just did it. And man, he did a great job. And what a great collection he has. He received the 60 Years of Mayberry book with an autograph from Dixie Griffith, Andy's daughter, right there in the book. So it was amazing for him. He was so excited and happy to be able to do that. And I was so happy for him that he was able to just be a part of this great experience he got to have and show his love for the Andy Griffith Show. Man, aren't we all excited if we get to do that? Golly. But he was really able to do that on television. The folks that were looking at his collection, Rob is his name. He had talked about how nice Mike was and that Mike definitely was somebody that looked like he came from Mayberry. So if you didn't get to see that, I don't know when it's going to air again, but it's definitely, it's a Collector's Call. It comes on MeTV and it's Andy Griffith Show collection and it would be Mike Haviland. As part of that, Mike has been working with MeTV and has done several different kinds of trivia while he's been doing this. And so that is one of the things we're going to do tonight. Collector's Call Trivia. This one's actually called Mayberry Mike's Trivia Challenge. How well do you know Sheriff Andy? That's the one we're going to go through tonight. All right. So if everybody's ready, we're going to start that in just a second here. And let me get some background music for us. This is our normal background music for trivia. Thank you to the VW boys for that great background music. So we're going to head over to MeTV.com, and there'll be a link in the show note for this trivia challenge. You can go and take it anytime you'd like and confirm that I got the answers. I gave you the correct answers. It's over on their website, and it's got a clip of Mike there on the thing showing when he got the book from Dixie. And man, it's just, man, what a great night it was. So here we go. We're going to go to trivia question number one. Now, some of you people may have already played this. I'm not quite sure. But I know you're going to enjoy it as we go through it. So, all right. So here we go for trivia. Mayberry Mike's trivia challenge. How well do you know Sheriff Andy? All right. So question number one, I'm going to read these off fairly quick because they're multiple choice. So listen closely. Number one, what was Andy's phone number? What was Andy's phone number? Was it 426-411, M3300, or 6127? What was Andy's phone number? I'm going to go through these quick. There's 25 of them. So make your guess. And I'm going to tell you the answer. Andy's phone number was 426. 426 is Andy's phone number. All right. So there's 25 questions. So we're going to run through them pretty quickly. And again, you'll be able to go over to MeTV and play these trivia questions if you'd like to on your own. Question number two. What was Andy's favorite dish to eat? Was it fried chicken, chicken and dumplings, spaghetti, or leg of lamb? What was Andy's favorite dish to eat? The answer, it was leg of lamb. Leg of lamb was his favorite. There you go. All right, so that's number two. Number three. Who was Sheriff Andy's first love interest on the show? Okay. Was it Peggy, Ellie, Helen, or Mavis? Who was Andy's first love interest on the Andy Griffith Show? Who was it? All right. Make your guess. You got one in four chance right there. The answer, it was Ellie. Miss Ellie was his first love interest on the Andy Griffith Show. All right. Number four. What was the name of Andy's fishing pole? What was the name of Andy's fishing pole? Was it Old Sam? Was it Eagle Eye Annie? Was it Spin a Line? Or was it Old Betty? What was the name of Andy's fishing pole? All right, make your guess. Think about it. Hey, we got a special treat for you tonight, too, if you're sticking around here. Randy Turner is back with us tonight for a special report. So something to look forward to after this. What was the name of Andy's fishing pole? It was Eagle Eye Annie. Eagle Eye Annie was what he called his fishing pole. All right, number five. What club in Raleigh wanted Andy to join? What club in Raleigh wanted Andy to join? Was it the Tomahawks, the Wildcats, the Esquire Club, or Robin Hood's Merry Men? What club in Raleigh wanted Andy to join? All right. The answer is the Esquire Club. It was the Esquire Club. That's right. All right. Number six. How you doing? You're doing pretty good. Have you got five? You got four? How you doing? All right. Number six. Here we go. What was the name of Andy's rowboat? What was the name of Andy's rowboat? Was it Sally, Gertrude, Peggy, or Sweet Annie? The name of Andy's rowboat. Our chat room's doing pretty good. I see that. So what was the name of Andy's rowboat? I gave you some options. The answer is Gertrude. The name of Andy's rowboat was Gertrude. All right, number seven. Who was Andy's first housekeeper in the show? Was it Emma? Or was it Rose? Mary? Or Madge? Who was Andy's first housekeeper in the show? Which one of those was it? All right, the answer... This is number seven. We're running right through these, aren't we? The answer is it was Rose. Rose was his first housekeeper in the show. The first one we saw on the very first episode. It was Rose. All right. Number eight. Who beat Andy in skeet shooting contest? Who beat Andy in a skeet shooting contest? Was it Karen Moore? Was it Mary Simpson? Was it Mary Grace, or was it Thelma Lou's niece? Okay, who beat Andy in a skeet shooting contest? The answer, it's Karen Moore. Karen Moore, Thumbelew's cousin. Karen Moore. All right. Number nine. What was Andy Taylor's job in Mayberry? Yeah, see, people are already ringing in on that one. What was Andy Taylor's job in Mayberry? Was he sheriff, justice of the peace, editor of the Mayberry Gazette, or all of the above? So what is the answer? What was Andy Taylor's job in Mayberry? That was a little tricky one because it was all of the above. He was every one of them. He was the sheriff, the justice of the peace, and the editor of the Mayberry Gazette, at least on the pilot episode of the Danny Thomas Show. Great, great little bit of fun there. All right. Number 10. So there's about 15 more after this. All right. So number 10, who was Andy's girlfriend? Was it Ellie, Peggy, Helen, or all of the above? Who was Andy's girlfriend? They're trying to trick us again, aren't they? Who was Andy's girlfriend? The answer is, it's all of the above. It's all of them. They were all at one point Andy's girlfriend, and they actually listed them out in the correct order. Ellie, Peggy, and Helen. So that's pretty cool. All right. How are y'all doing? So that's 10 questions. Did you get 10 so far? Are you gotten 10? You gotten 8, 9, 3? Hopefully you've gotten most of them. All right. Number 11. Who was Andy's high school sweetheart? Was it Sharon Despain, Juanita, Sarah, or Ramona Wiley? Who was Andy's high school sweetheart? The answer is, it was Sharon Despain, one of the great natural romances of all time. Yep, Sharon Despain. There we go. All right, number 12. Who did Andy shoot in the leg during a holdup? Was it Luke, Neil, Ralph, or Avery? Who did Andy shoot in the leg during the holdup? So you can pause these if you want to think longer, but we're going through them pretty quick. So the answer to number 12 is, who did he shoot in the leg during a holdup? It was Luke. Luke's who he shot. Luke Comstock. All right. Okay. Number 13. Who was the valedictorian of Mayberry Union High, class of 1945? Was it Thelma Lou, Barney, Andy, or Ralph Haynes? Who was the valedictorian of Mayberry Union High in the class of 1945? Well, we know who it's got to be. It's Andy Taylor. It was him. He was the valedictorian. All right. And that was question 13. So if anybody would like to say an incant or anything like that to get rid of the jinx, that'd be okay. All right. Number 14. Here we go. What instrument did Andy play in the Mayberry band? All right. So did he play the cymbal, a guitar, a trombone, or a tuba? What instrument did Andy play in the Mayberry band? The answer is, he played the tuba. All right. Did you get it? Played the tuba. All right. Number 15. All right. Who was the bully that tried to steal Andy's fishing spot? Was it Hody Snitch, Steve Quincy, Howie Williams, or was it Jess Morgan? Okay, who was the bully that tried to steal Andy's fishing spot? Now, this is a little harder. I have to admit, this one's a little bit more difficult than the last several have been. So I'm hoping you get a chance to get that one. So who was it that's the bully? Who was the bully that was trying to steal Andy's fishing spot? So the answer is Hody Snitch. Hody Snitch is the answer. That was a little harder, I think. That one's a little bit harder than some of the others have been. So good job if you got it. Even if you didn't, good job for trying. Okay, number 16. We're getting there. Number 16. Here we go. Who raised Andy when he was just a boy? Who raised Andy when he was a boy? Was it Rose, Aunt B, Maud, or Mrs. Mendelbright? Who raised Andy when he was a boy? Who raised Andy when he was a boy? The answer is Aunt B. Aunt B did. Aunt B raised Andy when he was just the least little speck of a boy. All right, number 17. Who turned down Andy's marriage proposal? Who turned down Andy's marriage proposal? Let me read again because I can't talk. Who turned down Andy's marriage proposal? Was it Helen, Thelma Lou, Mary, or Ellie? Who turned down Andy's marriage proposal? The answer is it was Ellie. Yeah, it was Ellie. Ellie Walker did. Ellie Walker turned it down. Wow, did you get that one? I hope you did. All right. Number 18. What starlet does Andy go out with in Hollywood? What starlet does Andy go out with in Hollywood? Was it Darlene Mason, Barbara Eden, Rita Shaw, or Dawn Wells? What starlet does Andy go out with when he's in Hollywood? The answer is it was Darlene Mason. It was Darlene Mason. I'm really surprised he didn't go out with Rita Shaw, though. He should have gone out with Barbara Eden or Dawn Wells. Either one would have been pretty good. But nope, it was Darlene Mason, and that was okay. All right, number 19. What is Andy's middle name in the high school yearbook? What is Andy's middle name in the high school yearbook? Was it Jackson, Paul, Samuel, or Edward? What was Andy's middle name in the high school yearbook? The answer is Jackson. It was Jackson was his middle name. All right. Number 20. So we're getting toward the end, guys. Number 20. What was the name of Andy's high school yearbook? What was the name of Andy's high school yearbook? Was it the Mayberrian, the Cutlass, Days of Old, or the Rockford? What was the name of Andy's high school yearbook? The name was, again, you can pause the podcast or the video if you want to wait and see the answer. But the answer is, it's the Cutlass. It was the Cutlass. What was the name of it? All right, number 21. Andy bragged about his famous pitch when he pitched for his baseball team. What did he call it? Andy bragged about his famous pitch when he pitched for his baseball team. What did he call the pitch? What was it called? Was it the Dipsy Doodle, the Slurve Ball, the Wobble Ball, or the Screamer? What did Andy call his famous pitch when he played baseball? All right. The answer is it was a wobble ball. That was his famous pitch, the wobble ball. All right. Number 22. There's only 25, so we're getting close. Number 22. Who did Andy supposedly get trapped with in a cave? Who did Andy supposedly get trapped in a cave with? Maybe I should say it that way. Does that help? Was it Thelma Lou, Helen, Mary, or Barney? Who did Andy supposedly get trapped in a cave with? All right. The answer is it was Helen. Remember, they were trapped in the cave. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their neighbor. Can't say it like Barney, but that's what he was doing. All right. So here we go. Number 23. According to Andy, which piece of equipment is the most important to a lawman? According to Andy, which piece of equipment is the most important to a lawman? His gun? His uniform? His badge? Or the squad car? What's the most important piece of equipment to a lawman, according to Andy? The answer is his badge. See that right there? That means something. Yeah, that's what it is. All right. Number 24. There we go. Where in Andy's house does he keep his gun? Where in Andy's house does he keep his gun? In the drawer in the hutch? On his nightstand in his room? On top of the hutch in the dining room? Or he doesn't have a gun in the house? Which is the answer? Where does Andy keep his gun in his house? Where in his house does he keep his gun? In the drawer in the hutch? On his nightstand in his room? On top of the hutch in the dining room? Or he doesn't have a gun in the house? The answer is it's on top of the hutch in the dining room. And by the way, if you go to the Taylor Home Inn at taylorhomeinn.com and you reach up above the hutch, you know what's up there? Yep, it's up there. It's a replica of Andy's home, the Taylor Home. Taylor Home Inn, go check it out. Search for them, you'll find it. But taylorhomeinn.com, it's a pretty cool place. All right, number 25, final answer, final question. How much does Barney the realtor think he can get for Andy's house? How much does Barney the realtor think he can get for Andy's house? All right. So the answer to that question is he thinks he can get. Why did it not show? Oh, can't show it. Wait a minute. Let's see if I can fix this. Yeah, there it is. $24,000 for Andy's house. He thinks he can get $24,000. 24. So there you go. So that is all the questions, guys. How did you do? That was the Mayberry trivia. I think it did pretty well. Mike did a great job of helping contribute those answers. So I hope you did well. There was 25 questions. How did you do? We got folks in the chat room saying they got 24. Or maybe they're saying they got $24,000. Maybe that's what they're saying. Some folks are saying they missed four. Some got all of them right. So good job in our chat room. How did you do? How was it that you did? I hope you did well. I thought that was pretty fun trivia, and that I thought those would be fun to play, especially in honor of Mike's appearance, Mike Haviland's appearance on Collector's Call this past week. Hopefully that will re-air, and I'll be sure to try to help make sure everybody knows when that is going to be, because it's a great show. I enjoy it watching it anyway, but of course, wow, if it is about the Andy Griffith Show, how can it get any better? Oh my goodness. All right, so we have another special treat for us tonight. This particular episode, we're going to be hearing from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History. And he's been gone for a while, but he is back. And I know you're all going to enjoy it. So let's get this video and get it started. So take it away, Randy.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
While I will still be sharing segment duties with our new correspondent, Spirit Walker, I'm ending my sabbatical after a luxurious 12-week absence. While I had been thinking of doing so anyway, I might not have chosen this week. In fact, as I wrote this and as I now record it, I am in the Ozarks at the 17th Annual Missouri Cherry Blossom Festival, along with Margaret Carey and that college kid, Ruta Lee. But Spirit Walker asked if I could return since he needed a couple of weeks off, and I figured it was about time. So let's begin a different type of my regular reports on the great and talented character actor Hal Smith, who played Mayberry's town drunk, Otis Campbell. This time, instead of a full overview of his career, let's look at some often overlooked aspects of his life. This week, we will begin a look at Hal's original career emphasis. He was first known as a singer. Hal was born on August 24, 1916, in Petoskey, Michigan, a coastal resort community near the top of the Mitten, that is Michigan's lower peninsula. But Hal is more closely associated with the town of Messina in New York State's North Country, the part of the state that borders Canada and is north of the Adirondack Mountains. Hal's full name was Harold John Smith, which may not be the catchiest of names, but oddly, there was another actor who began his career nearly 10 years before Hal did, who had the identical given name. But Hal didn't need to worry about changing his name to avoid confusion. The other actor who predated Hal and whose full birth name was also Harold John Smith? Well, that Harold adopted a different name from the beginning. He called himself J. Silverheels, better known to many of us as the Lone Ranger's American Indian companion, Tonto. Our Hal Smith's father was a millwright from Michigan, but who worked for a time in the Adirondacks. He met the woman who would be his wife there, and after a work stint in North Carolina, he returned to marry her. The couple then moved to North Carolina, which is where Hal's two oldest sisters were born. Hal's father then worked in Virginia, and then the family moved to Michigan, where Hal and his younger brother were born. The family returned to North Carolina shortly thereafter. And Andy Griffith's home state is where Hal had his first experience with show business. Hal and his younger brother appeared in a play about Pandora's Box that was staged in Wilmington, North Carolina in 1923. In all the many moves the Smith family made, they had always returned regularly to the North Country for visits. When Hal was just 11, the family moved there permanently when his millwright father found work at an aluminum plant near Messina, New York, the town that Hal always considered his hometown. Hal and his three siblings were all involved in local theater, be it school plays or in shows hosted by churches, the PTA, and the like. Hal also recalled that all four of the Smith children once appeared in a local theater in amateur shows, earning $5 a week. While Hal frequently also acted in productions, he first made his mark as a singer. In 1931, and while still a teenager, Hal and his brother began singing in a quartet called the Cement Mixers. Around the same time, he was invited to perform with a local band called the Kings of Rhythm. After he got home from that first gig after 11 p.m., his father was none too happy, but that did not dissuade Hal from his love of singing. Hal and his brother also still performed together, comically calling themselves the Smith Brothers, Cough and Drop. I can't resist making an aside. If you ever looked closely at a package of Smith Brothers cough drops, you'll understand two other names they also sometimes comedically billed themselves as, Trade and Mark. For whatever reason, the cough drop packaging shows drawings of the two brothers separated by text. Instead of showing the word trademark as it is normally written, the word trade is under one brother's image, and the word mark is under the other. Even when the label was later updated, it still showed the word separated as trade and mark by the drawings of the brothers. But I digress. One of Hal's sisters staged a show called The Follies of 1932 in a local opera house, with all four of the children performing, both singing and acting. As high school went on, Hal joined the Messina High School Choir and soloed when the choir performed on a Canadian radio station right over the border from Messina. He basically took any and all singing gigs that came his way. Keep in mind, all of this occurred before Hal had even turned 18. We'll continue to look at the career of the man who would become Otis Campbell next week. And it feels good to say, after such a long absence, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Well, thank you, Randy. It's good to have you back. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun stuff Randy's doing on the internet, head over to turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com. And, you know, he'll make sure you don't miss out on anything. So Randy, it's good to have you back. It's always good to have you in Mayberry. Spirit Walker, both. We love both of you guys. Thanks to both of you for the contributions you made here on the podcast. I know folks enjoy so much hearing from you, and we look forward to hearing from you next week with more about Hal Smith. Folks, I hope you had a good time. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you got to watch Collector's Call this past weekend on MeTV, and show MeTV some love when you're out there. Go in there and write in about it. Tell how great it was and how wonderful Mike was. Let's brag on them, because they did a great job and we really appreciate it. And Lisa had mentioned that her dad loved the Andy Griffith Show. So she's, you know, she was very sentimental about it as well during the show. So what a great time we had this past weekend. I really enjoyed that, and I hope you did too. And I hope you enjoyed the trivia. And a great job to Mike on helping put together that trivia with MeTV staff, it says, that helped put it together. So I think it was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. Folks, it is always a pleasure to spend time here in Mayberry with you, and I hope to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com, or you can drop by over at twochairsnowaiting.com and check it out there. Hey, this coming weekend, I'm going to be over in Valley Head, Alabama. So if you're going to be there on May the 7th, head over to Valley Head, Alabama, and come and see us early in the day, because it ends fairly early, about 4 o'clock. So it's a Mayberry, Memories of Mayberry Festival in Valley Head, Alabama. Come over and see me. Tell Floyd hey, and he'll tell you hey back. Maybe even get a haircut. So, folks, until next time, right here on Two Chairs, we'll see you then, and have a great Mayberry week. Good night, everybody.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.